let's just take Roslyn, for example. Why is that sitting there in plain sight for 500 years, and none of the art historians, none of the theologians, none of the church historians, none of the tour guides, and other people who visited this, and the poets over the years, never noticed it? Because they were not prepared to see it. And I was fortunate enough, having had this background and taught this course for 30 years and familiar with the taxonomy of Amanita muscaria, to be able to see it. So the first point I'd like to make is that secrecy is not suppression. And what's happening here is that, as with the Eleusinian mysteries, where you could not in ancient Greece, upon pain of death, reveal what you saw in when you drank the kikion, the potion that contained the LSD-like substance, or among the Mazatec of Mexico, where we know of Maria Sabina, a very famous Mazatec wise woman and shaman, that these are the sacred of sacred. They're the holy of holies, and they're talked about, you know, at night during the veladas in quiet tones of reverence and respect. And throughout the world, I mean, these are treated with secrecy. That is not suppression. We are arguing that, unlike others, that these were not suppressed. They were available for the initiates. Just as Jesus said, you know, to his disciples, you know, I have one message while you speak in parables. I have one message, you know, for the masses, and I have another message for you. The next point I'd like to make, and especially to our Catholic listeners, is that we are not here, and we didn't write this to challenge anyone's faith in Christianity, but rather to reveal a mystery that we believe is prominent in many, not all, but many of the world's religions. And this is not so far a stretch when you consider that Christianity arose in a circum-Mediterranean, an area around the Mediterranean that was rife with mystery cults, Neoplatonic cults, and that knew about psychoactive plants. Certainly the Eleusinian mysteries, certainly the Therapeutae of Egypt, and other esoteric communities. The next point here is that psychedelics, religions usually start from some prophetic or visionary experience of the founder, whether it be, you know, Moses or Muhammad or Jesus or the disciples or Paul, you know, that reinterpret. And so these are having a direct access to the divine and having that moral authority, or that apostolic succession in the church of being coming down from the apostles who knew Jesus themselves, or from the prophet who first, whether in Mormonism or any religion, received the word of God. So the next issue becomes, can psychedelics give you a direct experience of the divine, or of God, if you prefer the word, or of that, you know, universal intelligence that pervades the universe, as some others have put it? And the answer is absolutely. And how can I say absolutely? I can say it because it's been experimentally verified. And in a chapter in our book called The Miracle of Mars Chapel, we describe an experiment that was carried out in 1962 at Mars Chapel on the campus of Boston University. And here, Walter Pankey, who was a student of Timothy Leary, who was then still a professor at Harvard, took two groups of divinity students. And he gave one of them on Good Friday in 1962 psilocybin, and the others got a placebo, B12, niacin, that makes you feel flushed. This is a true double-blind experiment. The divinity students didn't know which of them were getting the psilocybin and which of them were getting the placebo, and the researchers and observers did not know either. Based on the report of the subjects, the observations of the observers, follow-up surveys, 9 out of 10 of the divinity students who received the psilocybin had a full-blown mystical experience. And Houston Smith, who became a very prominent and eminent professor and writer on religion, and who died recently, said it was the greatest cosmic homecoming he had ever experienced, giving him an existential experience of what he had been studying and reading about in Christianity all of his life. 25 years later, mm-hmm. Rick Doblin, the founder of MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies, MAPS.org, that is at the forefront of today's psychedelic renaissance, did a follow-up study. He found 7 of the 9 divinity students who had this psilocybin, and they said this was either the most or one of the most significant experiences in my entire life. It had a very positive influence, and I've integrated it into my life. Walter H. Clark, a very decorated American psychologist, said, and I quote, "There are no other experiments known to me in the history of the scientific study of religion better designed or clearer in their conclusion than this one." So what happened here? This experiment created a really illuminating fusion of science and religion, showing that, ironically, a pill taken in the contemporary world could give someone a full-blown experience of the divine. And for them, it meant literally encountering Jesus or the disciples, or going into a mystical realm of the divine experience. This is very significant because it experimentally verifies what ancient and biblical prophets have spoken about. And my last point here is that, as Julie and I say in the very beginning of the book, The Invitation to Readers, we had our first experience of the divine in the 1960s and 70s through psychedelics. Yeah.